Hello and welcome to the postcast. I'm Josh Kirschenbaum, once again with Alec Dietz here. And I'm going to level with you, we're not in the Research Stadium press box. We're actually back at our Airbnb here. It is 1:54 in the morning and we decided to get out of Research Stadium while we could.
Yeah.
And while we had our sanity.
Yes.
So you can just pretend that we're still in the press box at Research. Following Washington's 19-7 win over Oregon State. Just a beautiful football game, right, Alec?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty ugly.
It was really ugly.
Sort of reminded me of the Stanford game earlier this season that didn't go in UW's way. Just in the fact that both sides of the ball didn't really look very pretty, even when UW was kind of executing on offense, you know. I think they started off with that field goal drive where they were able to get some stuff going. Through the ground and through the air a bit. And then they obviously get that touchdown drive to go up 10-0 near the end of the first half. Couple missed field goals here and there. Jacob Eason throws that pick six, throws for less than 200 yards. And then, you know, you look at the Oregon State side and it's even worse. You know, on offense, you muster six first downs all game, none in the second half. I think they got into UW territory, or they ran like four plays in UW territory. Five plays. And the one drive where they got the furthest, it ended in a 4th and 36, drive. So just an ugly game, but definitely a much needed win for the Huskies. And I think they responded in a big way, especially after that pick six that Eason threw, kind of changed the whole complexion of the game, kind of sat at a 13-7 lead in the third quarter. And I think everyone in the press box, you know, I think I said something along the lines of, you know, this is deja vu for the, you know, the second week in a row, UW losing a momentum late in the game and not finishing, but the Huskies were able to finish it today 19-7.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think offensively it was just awful almost the entire game, with a couple exceptions of some big Savon Ahmed runs. I mean, Oregon State's offensive numbers are just so much worse, but I think a lot of that has to do with UW defense. That might have been one of the best game they've played all season. They've played some pretty good games. You look at Oregon State's numbers in the second half are comical.
Yeah. They lost rushing yards.
Offensively, they got no points on eight total yards, negative 10 yards rushing in the second half. No first downs. They went three and out every single drive. Gave up five sacks. It was just, the UW defense just had a game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of that, you know, I don't think Jimmy Lake's going to admit that a lot of that had to do with the fact that, you know, his buddy Jonathan Smith was sitting there on the other sideline. You know, I think Elijah Molden even admitted on the interception he got that that was a play that he'd gotten burned on when he was a freshman, when Jonathan Smith was the offensive coordinator at UW. So I think that kind of definitely helped. And I think it helped Oregon State, too, on defense.
Yeah. I mean, there was at least one play. I think there was in the fourth quarter where Oregon State ran a play action to end around sweep to the wide receiver that we've seen UW run probably once a game.
Right, yeah. With Bocelli most of the time.
Andre Bocelli, and before that with Chico McClatcher or Dante Pettis or Aaron Fuller or John Ross. I mean,
right. And they ran the same thing, and I think it got blown up.
Yeah, UW ran it for a big gain, but yeah, the defense looked like it had gone up against it in practice pretty much every single day for the past like 5 years or so.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some bits. You got a number to know?
Yeah, I think the most stark stat, and I put this in my instant, so this is kind of cheating, but
yeah, I usually do that.
1 of 13 on third downs for Oregon State. They converted one third down all game on 13 attempts.
Yep.
And you know, so long for this team. I remember 2 years ago against Penn State when they just couldn't get off the field in those third and long situations. This game they got them into third and long. And they stopped him every single time except for once.
Yep.
Got off the field, gave the opportunity, gave the offense plenty of opportunity to do its thing and salt the clock away, dominate the time of possession, forced its turnover. So, I mean, they lost the turnover battle, but you know, forcing that turnover was pretty big when it happened. I don't think it resulted in any points, right? It was at the end of the half.
The one third down they got?
No, the Elijah Molden pick.
Oh, yeah, no, it didn't get anything.
Yeah, but, and obviously the one third down didn't do anything for Oregon State either, so.
Ended in the Elijah Molden pick.
Right, so just kind of an ugly game, but I think like that, you know, the defense getting off the field was so key to this game.
Yep.
Especially on the road on, you know, on a Friday night, kind of Pac-12 after dark, if you will. So, yeah. What's your number to know?
I mean, it's sort of the same thing as getting off the field. Looking at the second half when UW was ahead the entire time but had its lead trimmed, Washington won the time of possession battle by almost 10 minutes. Oregon State held the ball for 9 minutes and 35 seconds in the second half, and that's sort of my number to know because so often when teams beat UW, it's because they draw out these long drives and limit Washington's possessions, and that just didn't happen. Every time Oregon State got on the field, they were off it just so quickly. I mean, if you look at their second half drives, time of possession, 1:26, 1:55, 2 minutes, 2:06, and 2:02. Like, they got absolutely nothing done, and they couldn't sustain anything at all, and that's why Washington won.
Yeah.
All right. You got a player of the game?
Yep, and I'm going to cheat again and go off what I said in my instant, but Joe Tryon had a game, probably his best game as a Husky in his short career as a sophomore. Second on the team in tackles as an outside linebacker. 6 solo tackles, which did lead the team. Got 2 sacks and 4.5 TFLs. I mean, that's kind of as good as it gets. And I think getting pressure on Jake Luton in that quarterback, he'd only thrown 1 interception all season long. And I think the pressure was something that forced that turnover, and it just scrambled Oregon State's offense the entire game. Him and Ryan Bowman had really good games with the Huskies.
Yep. I think Tryon was probably the best player on the defense. If you go to the top of the tackles charts, I mean, if you would have guessed that Edifuon Ulofoshio was going to lead UW in tackles.
Like, yeah, right. That's wild.
And he's an amazing story, and Haley wrote a really good story about him after the game. But I guess just for the sake of diversity and viewpoints, I'll go on offense, and I'll give it to Sivan Ahmed. I mean... 174 yards on 25 carries. It's shocking almost that UW only got 19 points this game, and yeah. 14 of them were him.
Right.
But really not just for the sustained workhorse style load that he got today, but really just that one run in the second half. Washington's offense did not do much of anything.
Right.
And, like, when you're not sustaining drives, sometimes you just need a home run hitter. And they got the ball back with, 2:44 after
pick six,
three
and out.
And then a three and out. Not a three and out, a pick six, and then just a drive that went nowhere. And they get the ball back. And just rips off first play of the drive, 60 yards down the left side. Like, that's sometimes that's just what you need. You need your defense to do everything and then just get enough, because that turned what suddenly had become a one possession game at 13-7 into a two possession game at 19-7. And the way that game was going, you could have not been surprised by one more fluke play, maybe another pick six or a fumble return or just one guy getting open deep for Jake Luton.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ahmed doesn't break off that run, then one of those plays, all of a sudden Oregon State's ahead.
Right.
And instead, they're up by 12, and Oregon State was never going to get 12 points in that game.
Right.
And that put the game away in the third quarter, really.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think that was the turning point in the game. What?
Got anything else?
I think that a lot of people are going to be concerned about the passing game.
Yep.
You know, and I think you know, going into the press conference, I was going to write about the passing game and how it had struggled. And Chris Peterson brought it up on his own several times.
Yeah, he was pretty blunt about it.
Unprompted a lot of times, too. It was during his opening statement, he said, you know, like, our passing game needs to be better. Someone asked him about the running game, and he's like, you know what? Like, the running game would have been better if we would have been able to pass better. Sort of a conundrum, you know, especially after seeing what happened against Oregon, where Eason could almost do no wrong.
And the first half against Utah.
And high-key out-dueled Justin Herbert.
Definitely.
Who, like, everyone is considering to be a first-round talent.
And then out-dueled Tyler Huntley for 30 minutes.
Right. And, I mean, he had his ups and downs in the first half of Utah. I don't think it was totally pretty. But he, you know, after one half against Utah, UW was leading 14-13. And then things started to go south for him. You know, four interceptions in the last two games, after only throwing three interceptions the first eight games. Doesn't look very confident out there. You know, he'll take a couple shots here and there, but
missed him today.
Missed a couple throws, overthrew him, underthrew him. I'm not pretending I have all the answers, because I definitely don't. But it'll be interesting to see how this team finishes, you know, especially given that Oregon State does not have a very good pass defense. Ranked 100th in the country entering this game, and I believe their stats are going to be better now after this game. So not really what you want if you're UW, and definitely something to keep an eye on for these last couple games this season.
Yeah. I definitely thought it was a little interesting on that side that you look at the final numbers, and Hunter Bryant got five catches, and Terrell Bynum, who is apparently UW's number one wideout option, got four, and Kate Otten got four, and Aaron Fuller got three, which is, I think, the most for him since he got dinged up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Ocelli had a couple targets. One of them was a pretty badly underthrown deep ball, and the other one, I think, was a drop off a scramble, if memory serves.
Yeah.
Savon Ahmed got a target and didn't get a catch off of it, and, like, that's it. Like, there was no Marcus Spiker today. Ty Jones played maybe a snap or
couple
two.
Couple snaps. Yeah, he came in on a lot of run plays.
Wasn't targeted at all.
Which is just wild.
It's just weird. And I think that's going to be something. UW has a week to draw some stuff up to finish the season strong. And I think they will. Like, usually Chris Peterson takes advantage of his bye weeks to bring out something new.
Right.
And that could be interesting. But, yeah, you can usually tell the good offensive days for Washington by how many people get touches.
Yeah, because they spread it around. And to be fair to them, they did it in the run game. You know, Savon Ahmed got his touches. Richard Newton, coming back from injury, got his touches. Andre Bocelli got a touch in the run game. So, like, I did think they spread it around in the run game. But you're right, in the passing game, when it's on fire, they're spreading it around to different guys, and you're looking at right now a UW offense that is targeting Hunter Bryant and Kate Otten a couple times a game and one or two receivers, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's not really much to say more on that point. I mean, I think it's been an all year kind of thing, and you know, this is the second bye week UW has had, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they come up with for Colorado in 2 weeks.
Well, I think that's all we got for you this week. No postcast next week, as there is no game.
No football. Well, there is football, but
yeah,
no UW football.
Well, I'm sure we'll find a way to fill our time elsewhere.
Yeah.
We'll return. Are we even going to return in 2 weeks? We might return in 2 weeks if we can figure out a phone.
Yeah, we could do the phone. If the game's at 8, I'm not sure I want to do it, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Maybe a postcast in 2 weeks as the Huskies travel to Boulder to take on Colorado in their penultimate regular season game.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed on that. If not, definitely a postcast after the Apple Cup.
Right.
And we will see you then. Thanks for listening. I've been Josh Kirschbaum along with Alec Dietz. Follow us on Twitter at UW Daily Sports. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. See you next week. Or see you in 2 weeks.